Hi, I'm Kim Wilson, your relationship expert. Welcome to the Amazing Relationships with Kim Wilson podcast. I want to give you a warning. The content in this episode may be a little bit more mature than you used to. We discuss suicide and depression, so some of the content may be disturbing to some listeners.
Welcome to the Amazing Relationships podcast with Kim Wilson. A space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Hi, I'm Kim Wilson, your relationship expert. Thank you so much for joining me. We are continuing with our very special series, When Men Heal. Woo! I have my very special guest once again, my powerhouse, Urban Watson.
Good afternoon, evening, or morning, whenever you're listening to this.
Yes, I just really enjoy his perspective. I enjoy his perspective because of the transparency that he brings and the vulnerability that he embraces. And I think whenever somebody offers transparency, vulnerability, it helps somebody. It helps all of us to listen with empathy. And when you can understand somebody, then you can care about what they're saying. You can really hear their point of view, and that's where healing begins. So today we are talking about male depression, when men experience depression. And I think that is an important topic because when you talk about healing, what are we healing? What are the men healing? And Irvin has this wonderful male group that he facilitates. So he has his perspective as a married husband and father, but all this research that he gathers just from having this male group and being a minister. So, Irvin, I'm going to let you start out by talking about just what depression looks like in certain men, just from you being around men. What does it look like?
That's a great question, and it's a loaded question because it doesn't look like anything, but it feels like something. And what happens is men, we talked about being able to express ourselves, and so many men are dealing with depression, and they're walking around. You've seen that commercial of the woman suffering with depression and she had able to put up a smiley face. And men, I think we do that by very nature of saying, you know what, something happens. How you doing, man? I'm okay. And a lot of times what's happening is men are walking around. They're not happy with what's going on. They're depressed either about their lot in life. And they have this sense of just, you know, where they don't feel like they're living up to their purpose and their worth. And they may not be experiencing all that they want in their family. And it can lead to a type of depression that you're not yourself. You're not enthusiastic, and you can fake it till you make it. And I actually realized I confided in my accountability partner that as I look back on a challenging time that I had, I look back and I told him, I said, man, you know what? This time last year, I don't know, but I think I was battling depression because I didn't like what was going on in my marriage. I didn't like what was going on in my career. It seemed like things were just going sideways, and all I could think about was how can I, what can I do to make it better, and how can I escape this feeling? And nobody around me knew that the thoughts that I was experiencing. And so nobody could tell that your question about what does it look like? It looks like every day. Mm. And when I talk to men, both, in the group, outside the group, ministering to people, family, friends, and so on, so many men just don't really realize that they're discouraged, that what it feels like is that deep discouragement of, man, will it ever get better? Is this how it's always going to be? That's what it kind of looks and feels like, or what's going through the man's head, and we just struggle with how to deal with it.
Mm. So So unhappy, not feeling enthusiastic, faking it till you make it. You know, one of the things that stood out for me, I read this statistic in Psychology Today, and it offered that 75% of men make up for the population of people who commit suicide in the United States. 75% of men. Yeah. And I'm like, well, let's just kind of roll that out into some everyday language. You know, right. Because these men are fathers, husbands, you know, they're in careers.
And it really is an epidemic. I think oftentimes the women that, you know, swallow a bunch of pills, and, you know, there's some other statistics and studies out there that show that men in the U.S., men attempt suicide are four times as likely to commit suicide than women. Wow. Four times.
Wow.
And worldwide, that number is twice as, you know, we might say that the U.S. is different, but worldwide, that number is twice as likely to commit suicide. But the interesting thing is women are 2 to 3 times more likely to attempt suicide or to think about and talk about suicide, but men are still 4 times as likely to actually commit suicide. So it's as if women have an outlet, they're able to talk about it, they're able to go up to the edge, but men just keep it bottled up for so long, and they deal with it and they just go with it for so long that when they finally can't take it anymore, they're just going to blow their brains out.
And see, that's why I want to go right there, Irvin, because that's why we're doing this. I mean, just even you talking to me, you know, us having this conversation, you know, because I want another man to hear you and feel motivated to talk to somebody, because I don't want another father to leave. I don't want another husband to leave, you know, just because they didn't know how to escape.
Right. And that's really the challenge, Kim, because we're in denial about the pain. But when we finally get to the place where we are, like men that have committed suicide, they reach the point where they're admitting the pain, but the pain is so deep and so heavy that they just can't take it anymore. And they'd rather just end it regardless of who it affects. And I believe that part of the reason why women don't actually go through with it is because women, you know, there's tons of studies out there. Women they think about who's going to find their dead body or their corpse. And they don't want that to happen to their children or their spouse. So, but men just want to go, they'll go jump off a bridge. They'll go blow their brains out or do something dramatic to actually end it. But when a man, what men have to do is just get to a place where they can admit, you know what? I'm human. I feel this. I'm hurt. That damaged me. And oftentimes with women, it can be difficult to express, be vulnerable, to express that pain and not feel emasculated and not feel less of a man, because I told you, look, you did this. I didn't like the way what you said to me, that hurt. And so when we get there, we have to, as men, we have to be willing and upfront, honest with ourselves of what we're feeling and exactly how serious it is, and be able to find somebody that we can talk to, other men that we can talk to and just share and just be transparent. There's tons of men out there that will listen if we open ourselves up and just say, man, this is what it sounds like. Can I just be real with you for just a minute? If you can find a brother that you can say, look, man, can I just be straight up? Can I shoot you straight without straight, no chaser, and just hit you straight with what I'm feeling? And have that brother come alongside and give them some encouragement and not maybe egg them on, because, man, you should leave her. You should leave her, leave the situation. You should quit your job. No, not anything like that, drastic like that. But just value the fact that, you know what, man, I see you. I felt the same way. Yeah. We will get better and stronger. And that's the biggest thing that I've seen as that has been the biggest healing, is for men to hear from another man that, I've been there. I know how you feel. And you're not crazy. And you're not the only one.
So, you know, I'm hearing something that I heard in the very first podcast that we did. There's that honesty and that transparency again. So it takes me, one of the terms that you used last time, you said men are taught to suck it up and swallow it down. I thought, my God, my God. I mean, so even when I think about the modeling of sucking it up and swallowing it down, and the man you saw, usually the first man that we have a relationship with is our fathers.
Right.
You know, so yeah. When you think about how did you see your father manage pain, in your mind as a kid, like, is my father sad? Is, you know, like, how did he manage all of that?
You know, that's really interesting, because my dad was a deacon in the church, the head of the deacon board, and he ultimately went into ministry. And when he passed away, he was a bishop. And typical in the Black church, as kids, we would imitate, you know, that's what we did for fun. We'd imitate what the adults were doing.
Yeah.
And my dad, as at the height, the as high as the, as in the spirit as the service could get, he'd be over there and he'd have his lips would be like this, and that's all he did, had this little rocking side to side. And I realized afterwards, because now I know my dad, and when he became a minister, I saw him really be able to let loose. I know that in him, it's not just sad or those emotions, it's just being able to express great emotion, be that joy, be that being proud and being happy and being and hearing and expressing that. They didn't really do a lot of that. And in fact, I watched my mom and dad. We grew up as five kids in our household, and mom and dad were together for 50 years, but we never, not once in 50 years of marriage did we see my parents argue. And not once. So when I grew up and started dating and went out on my own, I didn't know how to argue. I didn't know when there was an emotion that I was feeling, you know, or expressing towards a woman, and I didn't know that it was okay to get upset, because I never heard my dad, not once, raise his voice in anger towards my mom. Now, he raised his voice in anger towards me and my brothers all the time, but not once. And I never, if they disagreed or had an argument, it took place quietly and behind closed doors. So when I started dating, expressing emotion in a relationship, I felt the emotion, but I didn't feel the license to express it. So I didn't get that, those skills. So in a sense, I realized in retrospect, I was a little bit dysfunctional. Because I would see friends interacting in their relationships and getting in arguments and this, that, and the other. I just didn't feel the release to be able to, the license to be able to do that, because I thought that was wrong. But actually, that's probably more healthy.
So two things I heard in there. One, I didn't express it. So by the time I hear that goes back to the beginning of our conversation. So as time goes on, you know, and you weren't expressing it. And then the other thing I heard you say, I didn't have the skills. So even, you know, when we bring those two things together, being able to express what you feel and not having it get stuck inside of you, and even knowing what that skill set looks like. So, or let me just ask, so when you saw your friends arguing, did you feel like you wanted to go home and say, "Hey, yeah,
That's right. That's what he said.
I mean, because if you weren't expressing it then, so were you sucking it up and swallowing it down?
Sucking it up, swallowing it down. And I did that even in dating, and it continued even when I got married. I didn't really know. I saw what my dad built, my mom and dad built. A successful marriage, successful family life. I saw what they did. I just didn't know how they did it, because I never saw him. I'm feeling these things going on, these frustrations, these disappointments, and so on. I never saw my dad experience those, so he didn't experience them. So part of me was saying, okay, I'm not measuring up. And the other part was saying, well, if dad experienced this, then how did he deal with it? What did he do about it? How did he handle it? So I would try to handle it the way that I saw him handle it, which was to not express it. Mm-hmm. And my wife is not my mother, and I'm not my dad. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to use a playbook, or what my interpretation of their playbook, on a totally different game. And we're getting I was getting totally different outcomes. And I wasn't, in fairness to my wife, I wasn't giving her the right input so that she could have the right response to me. Had I responded differently or expressed what I was feeling differently, or even just expressed it, perhaps she would have acted differently towards me. And I wouldn't have carried a lot of guilt and a lot of frustration and gone through some of the things that I experienced, and it impacted my wife, it impacted my children, and that's all on me. That was all on me.
And that's so key what you're saying. It impacted my wife, it impacted my children. I'm fortunate for you all, you caught it, because the statistic has been there for a very long time that 50% of marriages end in divorce. And they're ending in divorce because not having that relational skill set, being able to identify those emotions such as guilt, frustration. And then when you come from, especially say, for instance, if you come from a background like yours, where you did not see your dad arguing with your mom, and the rhythm of the relationship is not going, you can start to blame yourself. That blame. Yeah.
That was very prevalent in my head and in my mind. A lot of men will blame their wife and think their wife is their enemy, and your wife, your woman, whatever, your girlfriend, she's not your enemy, so to speak. If it's a life partner, and I usually talk to married men, I'm not sure about what it's like dating, but your wife isn't your partner, but it is kind of a rhythm of a relationship. That's a great way to refer to it, because there's an ebb and a flow. There's a give and take. And if that gets out of whack, or the synchronization doesn't line up, then you can end up with dysfunction. And mm-hmm. the other thing is that I knew who I was as a man, and I got my identity of being a man from my dad. It was very, very important to me to present the right image of a man to my two sons. Mm-hmm. Because when I realized the whole concept of the depression, and you know, it comes full circle, that's such a huge impact to the next generation. And you know, I came from a family that divorce was not prevalent. But then as time goes on, divorce wasn't prevalent, but dysfunction was. Mm-hmm. So, but my wife, on the other hand, there's more, came from a family on her side of the family, divorce is much more prevalent. But there's normal dysfunction as well. So neither of the two sides were better or worse. In fact, when we got married, we made a pact, and we made a verbal pact, and we remind ourselves of this often. She says, I won't talk about your family, and you don't talk about mine. Because dysfunction is universal, and it doesn't discriminate. But it's really important for each person, especially men, to own the potentiality of our own dysfunction, be it from seeing a good example and not living up to that good example, or seeing a poor example and just falling in line with the poor example that we've seen.
So something I've heard you say before, let me just go back to the word dysfunction. I want to pick up the word dysfunction. And mm-hmm. I want to connect it to something I've heard you say before about guarding your heart, you know, with, right. while trying to protect hers at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because if you're feeling these emotions such as frustration and guilt and, you know, and you're guarded, how do you do that? Especially somebody, they don't have the skill set. How, it's like you're trying to balance something. How is it that you're guarding your heart? How do you do that?
You know, I don't know if there's a good way to do that. We all have some walls up. We all have our guard up to some degree, but we have this image that we have to live up to. We have this image to protect, and we have a heart that we want to protect because we know deep down inside when something has really bothered us and hurt us. We also know how much of it we can take. Some men will just distant when they're hurt, their heart is hurt, they'll just leave and they'll pull themselves out because they don't want to respond. Or some will just let it all hang out and just will blow, they have an atomic reaction and they blow the whole house up. Mm. But it all comes from these chinks that happen, these damages that take place in the heart. But a man that truly loves his woman, loves his wife, doesn't really want to hurt her. So it's a difficulty to, sorry.
Oh, no problem.
There's a difficulty to keep her, try to protect her from pain, but at the same time, manage your own pain. And that's just, those two don't always line up. And you said, how do you do it? I don't know. I don't even know how I was able to just continue to deal with that for so long. And what ended up happening was slowly but surely, there's some things that I mishandled. And I am so glad that I have the most amazing woman on the planet because she was the right person for me to allow me to grow through and go through these growing pains of becoming, of finding my identity. And while at times I might have thought she was the nexus or the reason for the pain, what she really was the pathway for healing. She's the one God used to help me find true healing. And I like to think to a degree that maybe I was a conduit for some of the things that she was able to grow through in the last few years. But not everybody has that. But we got to look for and seek to be healed. Because what God really wants for us, God doesn't want us happy. He wants us happy. But more so than our happiness, he wants us to be whole. And it's once you get whole and your wife is whole, then as a couple, you can really grow. But you got to get past that guarding yourself and trying to protect her at the same time, because she is that's my woman. I need to protect her from pain and hurt and disappointment. But sometimes I'm ill-equipped to do that. So, again, it goes back to the man just getting real and being honest and healing. Bless you. And being able to find that healing and more so that wholeness within himself.
So, you know, Irvin, now that was loaded, that was packed with nuggets. Hold on, let me get in. So I heard you say something in a previous episode that we did, episode 66, if you all want to check it out. And we were talking about communication and you talked about the self-talk. And if the self-talk in the head is not right, you know, and when you mentioned that sometimes men start to blame their wives and right. Well, even if people are not married, because what I found, Irvin, some people they have all this stuff going on. They want a wedding so bad, they take the same habits, jump across the broom. So some of this stuff, people who are not married, they go through this stuff, they just get married and they have the same issues. But that self-talk, that negative self-talk that a person may have going on in their head, and if they start to blame their wives, number one, if that self-talk is there, that is going to be there. And then right. we're already experiencing some of those emotions. That what makes me think about that brokenness.
Yeah.
I want to put that brokenness out there.
And you know what, I was, as you're talking about that, we started off talking about depression, and that really is what the brokenness is, the one that really leads to the depression, because your brokenness is kind of opens you up, or starts the process, the downward spiral, if you will. And when men don't deal with that, not, I shouldn't say men, when people don't deal with those mm-hmm. areas of brokenness, it will ultimately and eventually it will lead to a sense of depression, because that comes from, you talked about the negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. You start talking, you know, you can start talking to yourself and hearing, repeating the same negative messages, and you hear it over and over again, that before long you might start off feeling guilt about maybe mistakes that you've made in the past, and maybe bad decisions that you've made in the past. But if you don't deal with that, guilt can grow into shame. Mm-hmm. And guilt is about what you did, but shame is about who you are. And mm-hmm. that's when you know that you maybe have, you started to perhaps lose your identity, when you attach who you are with the mistake that you made, or the things that you did, or the failings that you have made. Everybody has these failings. Mm-hmm. But when you're unable to deal with the brokenness that comes from disappointments or hurts or what have you, mm-hmm. and you allow it to go on, those just bring you to a place where you can feel helpless. And I don't know if the best word is helpless or hopeless, because you can feel like helpless means I'm not going to get any help, but hopeless is, man, this is just how it's just going to always be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be. That's why that for men, I believe accountability is so, the right type of accountability is so key, because when you are feeling helpless and hopeless, you need somebody that can tell you, nah, it's going to be all right. And this is why I believe it's going to be all right. Man, let me help you with that. And that's what men need to really start to move out of those dark places.
Yeah, so you just gave a nugget. So if you are a male, you are listening, and if you are a woman listening, for your brother, your husband, your dad, what he just said is an accountability partner. People need people, somebody you got to talk to. There's this quote, you got to reveal it to heal it.
Yeah.
And so I think that brokenness, it turns into broken behaviors, broken choices, broken habits. And that is the thing, all of that brokenness leads to somebody completing suicide.
Yeah.
It's like there is no, because you said what made me think about that, triggered that thought for me, when you say if a person is feeling hopeless, man, it's always going to be that way. That's that negative self-talk. And in your mind, if you're thinking it's always going to be this way, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Who wants to stay in this pain?
And you get to, people have they have a breaking point, and you can push it. Sometimes a breaking point turns you around, and sometimes at breaking point you just go, you go over the edge. And unfortunately, like the numbers that we talked about, the statistics that we talked about starting off, more often than not, men are statistically more likely to just end it all. And we got to stop that. You know, there was a time when as an African American, that I thought the only men that took their lives were white men.
Mm.
But it's becoming epidemic in the Black community as well. And they're getting younger.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it much younger. So the dysfunction that we see, relational dysfunction that we used to see in adults, is really now starting to impact the next generation. And they see dysfunction, they experience pressures, and they also don't have the skill set that we talked about earlier. They don't have the skill set to either deal with what's going on or to express what they're feeling, or they don't have a place to express it. So they just swallow it down, suck it up, keep on going until they can't take it anymore, and they snap.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure the listeners are very clear on what that skill set is, because you've said it in a couple of different ways, but I'm very clear on what you're saying. Part of that skill set is communication. It's one of the most used activities in life. We're either going to say it,
right,
we're going to do it with our body language, or write it. And the more you use the skill of communication appropriately and correctly, when you use it over and over, it becomes a skill. When you right. learn to talk about what you feel, when you learn to express what you feel, and when you learn to listen. And the reason why I'm bringing up listening as a skill, because it takes me back to a part in the conversation when you said your wives are not your enemy. And I think sometimes what happens when we are in relationship and we build these habits that are not healthy habits, where we're not listening and we're over talking and we're yelling and name calling, and you start to feel like you're living with somebody who is not your friend. And if somebody is not your friend,
that means ergo, they're my enemy.
And you actually start to feel like this person is against you, you know. Yeah. And it's like, okay, let's just kind of get to that part, because again, go ahead, Irvin.
You bring up a great point, and I know that many of your listeners are women. Mm-hmm. Most of the men that I talk to, everything I'm sharing is not my personal story. A lot of it started with my story, what I learned, and it taught me to be more open and transparent, not just with my wife, but with people in general. So it's become very easy for me to testify and help people based on what I've experienced, and it causes them to open up. So a lot of what I'm sharing are the stories that I hear from other guys as well. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is that if I could share with the listeners, your female listeners, is I just implore them to become great listeners to the men in their lives, not just the romantic partners, but even the young men in their lives. Because if a man has someone that they can just open up and be real and raw with, sometimes you just need to be able to just say it like it is. I would tell, some of the guys this, when I was trying to explain something to my wife and we were trying to grow through some things. One time I remember specifically, I said, I have something I need to say to you. I don't know exactly what I want to say or how I want to say it, and it's going to come out wrong. So if you can just let me just keep talking
right.
until mm-hmm. you hear what it is that I'm trying to say, don't stop me in mid-sentence, and just let me get it out and ask. Then I'll tell you when you can ask questions, but let me just fire hose you with everything. And then let's talk about what I said. And it was one of the most revealing conversations, because afterwards she asked some questions and we talked and we actually had a dialogue. Mm-hmm. Whereas unlike what a lot of the men that I talk to, oftentimes this is very common. Men will say, man, if I talked to her the way she talks to me, it would be on and pop. We would have a situation. And what it means, because men are trying to have a conversation, but women are allowed to be emotional and make, I'm going to say over the top, but I don't mean over the top, but they can be outwardly expressive, but men still have to maintain their composure. And they're saying, I feel like going there where she is, but if I go there, it's not going to end well. That's not right. But we need to be able to, if the women can have a dialogue and hear the man's heart, not just his words, but hear his heart. But many times what the men share is, man, she blew past that stop sign. She didn't even see that I had a stop sign. She blew right past.
Yeah. You know, we can do a whole show on that because, you know, and because communication is really a skill, and that is the first thing that tears, that's one of the first things that tears relationships down, tear them apart, and will just downright, and the thing is, not only does it tear the relationship with the romantic relationship, but the family relationship, because the children are learning how to communicate based on what they see. And if you're communicating from that frustration, and the person is listening from that place of frustration, and it's like, now we're in this negative cycle, and the person really starts to feel trapped, and that depression becomes compounded, and you just feel like you are a hamster on a wheel, and you will not get off.
And a lot of times, and I know that this is not unusual, how many men have told me, they've called me, said, man, I'm parked out in the garage, or I'm parked in the driveway, or I'm outside the house. I just don't feel like going in, because the communication has broken down to the place where they just don't feel like, man, I don't even feel like engaging. And men can feel, you know, they say, man, you say she's not my enemy. And I said that a lot of times. You say she ain't my enemy, but she sure act like. But that comes from the self-talk. And if men will just continue the self-talk that they remind themselves of, is she's not my enemy. The other piece is, if you realize that your wife is not your enemy, and if I can get healed, meaning as a man, if I can get healed, then my family can get healed. I can't tell you the peace that we've experienced since we've had, my wife and I have been able to just really grow and communicate with our hearts. There's been plenty of times, I said since then, that I said some things that were wrong, and I just watched her just not respond. Whereas before, it might have turned into something. It might have turned into a cold shoulder. Or there's been times when things that would happen would have been a cold shoulder. We might have been sleeping with our backs together in the bed, and 10 minutes later, we're laughing about it. It's because we've gotten to the place where we really value that communication, and we want more for that other person. I want more for her to feel like she can express whatever she wants to express to me without any fear of repercussions. And I likewise, she wants me to be open to express things to her. I found out afterwards that after we really started growing, she told me, she said, you worried about a bunch of things that you don't need to be worried about. I would have never responded. My response would have not have been anywhere near as severe as you thought it would have been. And I was sitting there scratching my head like, you mean to tell me? I've been holding on to this all the time. And all I had to do was just say it. And so I'm glad I grew through that, because now I have some statistical data to tell guys, go ahead, man, look, go ahead and tell you. The worst thing, look, y'all ain't talking right now anyhow. What's the worst thing you can do? You can sleep on the other couch tonight? So go on and share and be open and honest. And there's been plenty of testimonies where guys have come back and said, yeah, that it's gotten a lot better.
Yes. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. But the power is, I heard the power when you said, the only thing I had to do was say, yes. Yeah. The only thing you had to do was say, to speak it, to reveal it. Listen, Irvin and I can go for 2 hours. Listen, we are not done. We're going to put a date together so we can actually do a live webinar or a Facebook Live. So if we have 3 people on, 2 and 3, look, we're good to go. We 2 and 3 agree. We are in, we're in good company.
We're in the house.
Yes. So send your comments, your questions. Irvin has a web page where you can actually send comments directly to him at www.irvinwatson.com. Irvin is a speaker. Irvin, you want to tell them some of the topics that you speak on?
I do everything from relationship management to organizational change. I'm getting a lot of work on bias and diversity right now. And, if you have a team, you have a small team, a large team, in the public sector, private sector, I believe that there's some leadership or some execution, a perspective that I can share that will help to grow your team or grow your organization or business.
Fantastic. Irving, I'll go anywhere. Listen, thank you all so much for joining us. You could have been anywhere in this world today, but you chose to hang out with Irving and I, and I'm always grateful for that. Do not forget to subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, Google Music, and Stitcher Play. If anybody hasn't told you today, let me be the first. You are amazing. Onward and upward. Wait a minute. Onward. I'm forgetting my own thing. Onward, upward, and beyond.
That means it's really good when you forget your own tagline.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.